Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for the Tech Guy is provided by CacheFly. CacheFly.com. Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and this is my Tech Guy podcast. The show originally aired on the Premier Networks on Sunday, November 8th, 2015. This is episode 1236. Enjoy. This episode of the Tech Guy Show brought to you by BowlandBranch.com, the most comfortable sheets on the planet. If you order right now, they'll give you $50 off a set of sheets plus free shipping. Just go to B-O-L-L and B-R-A-N-C-H.com. Use the offer code Tech Guy. And by Gazelle, the online marketplace for buying and selling used gadgets. Shop from a variety of certified pre-owned electronics or trade one in for cash. Give new life to a used device at gazelle.com today. And by Epson's new EcoTank printers. With Epson's line of super tank all-in-one printers, you can print thousands of documents without running out of ink. EcoTank is loaded and ready to print when you are. Visit Epson.com/EcoTank to find out more. Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the Tech Guy. Time to talk computers, the internet, home theater, digital photography, smartphones, smart watches, all that jazz. 8888 Ask Leo. If it's got a chip in it, I will talk about it with you. 888-827-5536. Toll free from anywhere in the U.S. or Canada. Outside those areas, you can still call us. We get a lot of calls all over the world, and that's just use Skype to do that. Plus 1-888-827-5536. Thanks to Scott Wilkinson for filling in for me on the last show yesterday. An all home theater show. Lots of talk about big screens, surround sound, stuff like that. High frame rate. All of that. Did he talk about the new Beatles Blu-rays that came out on Friday? It's funny, you know, the record companies just continue to make money on the Beatles. The Beatles are only available for sale digitally on iTunes, right? I think it's only iTunes. And I don't believe they're available for streaming anywhere, which to me makes absolutely no sense because, well, I don't know. It just seems like they should be for sale everywhere. And streaming wouldn't be so bad. I guess they don't need the promotion. Streaming's all about promotion, right? But the Beatles are kind of an unusual act in the sense that, first of all, they disbanded in 1970, so that was 55 years ago. But the second sense that they keep selling records like crazy. So some 25 years ago, they did a thing called The Beatles One, which was an anthology of the Beatles' number one hits. And everybody thought, oh, everybody's got those records. Nobody needs a new Beatles record. And it was the best-selling Beatles record of all time. Oh. So here we are 25 years later. Actually, Beatles 1 was originally released 15 years ago in 2000. Let me correct myself. Exactly 15 years ago. It was the 30th anniversary of the Beatles' breakup. And they sold 31 million copies. One CD, 31 million copies. So, time to go back to that. Well, it's been a while, 15 years. But they've done something interesting with it. They've remastered all the original tapes. They've made 5.1 surround. And this is what's really interesting. They released a Blu-ray with all of the songs, videos of all the songs. Now, this was long before MTV. The Beatles weren't making videos at the time. But I guess they did make some videos, and then others were put together from concert performances and lip syncing and so forth. I haven't watched it yet, but I did get it on Friday. I know I'm. You know why I haven't watched it? It's incredibly frustrating. I have a Blu-ray player in the house. It's not a standalone Blu-ray player. It's an Xbox One. It's Microsoft's Xbox gaming box has a Blu-ray disc in it. So what do I need a Blu-ray player for? Except I turn it on and it needs a 3.6 gigabyte update. So, yeah, So now, I can't even watch TV because the TV is hooked up through it. I can't do anything. I have to download 3.6 gigabytes of data. I guess it's a big Windows 10 update. I don't know. I don't really care. But it's a good reason to have a standalone Blu-ray player. It really is. Early tallies say that this is going to be just as successful as the original Beatles one. Amazing. 31 million copies of that. Even though, and this is why it's amazing, even though everybody who's a Beatles fan already had every one of those records. I presume, right? I've purchased the entire Beatles collection several times on iTunes, yes. A CD when they re-released the CDs, yes. That was maybe 5-6 years ago. Then they put out a little green apple. Weighed like 8 pounds. It was a little silliest. It was like, what is it, made out of gold? Inside was a USB key. You pulled the stem of the apple. This was a very limited edition thing. You pulled the stem of the apple. I had to buy it on eBay because I missed the original sale. And a USB key came out of the little metal apple. And on that, they had higher quality even digital versions than were sold online, 24-bit digital versions. But now this is a new remix. This is by George Martin's son. So I figure this can go on for a long time. George Martin's grandson, his great-grandson, they're just going to all remix it every time. I think I've got a better way. Anyway, of course I bought it. How can you call yourself a Beatles fan unless you buy it? That's a good gig if you can get it. New York Times sent me cardboard. You too, if you subscribe to the Sunday Times. This is their a VR viewer. This is the same one that Google gave away 2 years ago at their developer conference, Google I.O. It's a flat piece of cardboard that you fold, unfold, and Velcro and rubber band together into a viewer. It has lenses. And then you're supposed to slot your phone into there. And what happens, I guess, there's an app that goes in your phone, iPhone or Android, that then will let you watch a 3D video. On a story that was in the Sunday Times magazine today on displaced people. War has driven 30 million children from their homes. These are the stories of three of them, and they made an immersive movie. Now, look, it's horrible that war has driven 30 million children from their homes. It's terrible. Sad, sad thing. I'm not sure I want to be immersed in that. Is that rude of me to say? This is the first experience a lot of people are going to have of virtual reality, says here. The virtual reality, the storyteller's newest tool. And by the way, it's sponsored by General Electric, which has a big logo on the player. Experience the future of news. And by the Mini, which is a BMW. BMW does those Minis, the Coopers. And I was a little confused because I looked at this and I said, it says download, see the film, miniusa.com/connect. I got a virtual reality commercial. I don't know. The only thing I worry about, I'm very excited about the future of this. This is not, by the way, to call this virtual reality is a little bit of a misnomer. This is an immersive film, a 360-degree film. I've been making a lot of them lately with, I got that Ricoh Theta S camera I talked about last week that lets me shoot immersive video. And when I say immersive, you put on you hold the visor up. It looks like a ViewMaster a little bit. Remember when you were a kid, there's even a button where the ViewMaster had a button. And when you put it on, now you're kind of looking through this viewer at a movie. And when you turn your head to the right, the camera angle moves to the right. So you see what's to the right of you, to the left of you, above you, below you, behind you. That's why it's immersive. You can look around inside this movie. And so these movies have to be shot in with a 360-degree camera. And I actually have not seen the New York Times one. It sounds depressing. I'm sorry. I know I should care. I care about those 30 million children. I truly do. But I'm not sure I want to be immersed in that. A multimedia journal. They say the future of news. I should probably look at it. But I think of VR, virtual reality, as more of an entertainment medium, like for games and fun stuff. This seems like it would make it even more depressing. But maybe, I don't know, maybe that's the point. It's interesting. I think this will be people's first experience with VR. What I'm also interested in is the nausea factor, to be blunt. there are a lot of people who cannot look at this without going and getting a little queasy. My wife, she puts it on for 3 seconds, and she rips it off her head. She says, I can't do this. I'm getting queasy. And so I'm curious if, you know, how many people subscribe to the New York Times? More than a million. If a million people get this, how many are going to watch it? 100,000 watch it. How many people are going to get queasy? 50,000 people get nauseous by from this. That's not probably a good introduction to virtual reality. I don't know. It's an interesting idea. And I'm very bullish, don't get me wrong, but I want it to be a great experience the first time you try it. Because if it makes you sick, I don't know if you're going to ever go back. 8888 Ask Leo, that's the phone number. Let's talk high tech. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Beatles Wednesday. Yes, why I don't like news.
This is huge.
In general, because news is kind of like depressing. All right. One thing I do like, you don't turn this phone on. I'll probably at some point talk about this on the show, but somebody, Stevenson, hates it when I talk about phones, so I don't want to talk about it. Because, you know, the show is for him. But when the phone's off, you just touch the fingerprint reader on the back. You don't have to turn it on. You just touch the fingerprint reader. It buzzes and turns on very quickly, which is great. And then I've turned off all the features that Android has to, you know, keep your phone locked when it's in your pocket or when it's in near trusted Bluetooth, like my watch or your car, or when it's in a trusted spot like home or office. All of that I turned off because it's not a big deal to unlock it. All right, I have to. Here it is. New York Times VR successfully installed. Okay. There we go. Welcome. Watch these immersive virtual reality videos with your Google for immersive. No cardboard, no problem. Select the smartphone. Okay. Okay. Now what? Now what do I do? Oh, I see. A 11-minute movie about. How about nature is inspiring our industrial future? Guess who produced that one? Maybe I'm thinking General Electric. Okay. The food drop. That's another one for this displace. They're dropping food. And Real Memories. Follow Max down a mysterious road to uncover his past. I'm thinking maybe that's the Cooper ad, right? All right. And Walking New York. See, now here we go. The making of New York Magazine's Walking New York cover with the artist. Oh, actually, that's pretty cool. All right. So I'm going to pop this in here. Do I just start playing now? All right. Now what? Okay. Turn on Wi-Fi. Okay. Proceed with download. Yes, 328 megabytes. I don't have to download it first, do I? Choose your experience. Cardboard. Okay. You have to download the whole thing. Please put on your headphones and place your phone into the cardboard viewer. Okay. There we go. Close the clasp. Oh, it's not downloaded yet. Guess I have to wait. It's not doing the parallax correctly? Oh, that's funny. Yeah, the newest thing is that YouTube's added is depth perception, so you get a 3D experience. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888 Ask Leo. That's the phone number. A couple of new products we'll talk about in just a little bit. I got the new Nexus 6P finally from Google. Quick thumbnail. Disappointing. Yep. I'm sorry to say. I really had high hopes. I thought, finally, a phone I can leave my iPhone 6S Plus for. Nope. I'll fill you in on that later on. Also, sometime this week, we believe, although I don't think Apple's confirmed it yet, Wednesday, I think. Is that November 11th is Wednesday, right? 9, 10, 11, yeah. I know, I didn't use my fingers. I did that all in my head. Out loud, but I did it all in my head. Sometime Wednesday, apparently, you can order or buy or maybe even just walk into a store and pick up a iPad Pro, the big, giant, monster iPad. The iPad on steroids. I'm sorry, I got the wrong adjectives. According to Apple, it's thin, light, and epic. Oh, pardon me, Apple. Should have got that right. not gigantic, steroid-fueled, oversized. No, those aren't the adjectives you're looking for. And the pencil, too. Save your pennies. Actually, it's going to take more than pennies. Save your $100 bills. Go take 10 of them, around $1,000. Hope you've been saving up. We shall talk about that as well. But first, let's say hello to Kim Schaffer. I need a wrestling style intro for you. Ba-da-da-pum, here she is, Kim Schaffer, weighing in at 95 pounds.
Oh, don't I wish. No, that would be a little too small.
In the blue trunks. Kim is answering the phones this morning and or afternoon, depending on where you are, but we're in the morning still. And you have lined up, I see, 5 callers, good and true, for me to...
6?
6. Wow, and a bonus caller to boot. Who should I start with?
How about Jay in Providence, North Carolina, with a networking question?
All right. Is Jay a Jayhawk? That's the question. Hi, Jay. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hey, Leo. I'm running an Asus router, which seems to not be acting any different, but the modem I have doesn't want a transparent bridge anymore. And I'm wondering if I should just, if it's worth buying a new modem over, or if just running basically what amounts to 2 routers, as I understand it, is going to cause me a problem.
What? I'm sorry, you're saying you got a new router, it's not acting any different. What do you mean? Different from what?
I just bought an Asus.
You bought a new router hoping you would get a better experience?
Just like for the security aspect of having a router hooked up.
I see. Well, that's a good idea, right? You don't want to be sitting with your computer hooked up directly to the cable modem.
Yeah.
Because that puts your computer on the public internet, and anything that happens at your IP address will happen to that computer. Yeah, always better to have a router there. It's a firewall because it's just dumb. Routers are computers, but they're simple. They're simpletons. All they really do is route, hand traffic off, and so as a result, attacks that come in have to be aimed at the router as opposed to your computer. That's a lot harder to do effectively, although it has happened. That's another reason to get an Asus, which is the brand I recommend. They keep their routers up to date. Most other companies, they put it out and they go, thank you, good luck. And if there's a security flaw found, they rarely fix them.
Exactly.
So you got an Asus. Which Asus did you get?
I think it's like an RT12 something or another. I don't have it with me. It's not one of the newest.
It's not Wi-Fi. It's just a regular router.
It'll do both, but it's I only need it for wired.
Okay. So the issue is this idea of bridging mode. Normally, when you put in a router attached to a router, you tell this internal router, hey, don't do the handoff. The network address translation, the actual routing. Don't do that. Let the router, the first router, do the routing, and you just act as a intermediary. And usually you do that because you want Wi-Fi, but in your case, yeah, you're getting the benefit of the firewall. But it's not the end of the world, I'm told, to have double NATing. So that if you can't put the Asus in bridge mode, then, although you should be able to. So what's happened? Have you tried to do that?
Well, the modem, which is the Asus, won't work as a modem. It never has.
No, it's just a router. It shouldn't. It's not going to replace your cable modem.
Yeah, but the modem, by the way, it's a DSL modem.
Okay.
I can't get it to bridge, so I'm just...
No, don't have it bridge. Have the Asus bridge.
Oh, okay.
It's okay to let the DSL modem do the routing, the NAT. The network address translation. It's okay.
Oh, I see. I thought it was the other way around.
Doesn't matter.
Oh, okay.
Okay. That was easy. I gave you a long explanation. All I had to say was, yeah, don't worry about it. Just have it bridge. It's probably not possible to turn the DSL modem into a bridging or a router. A lot of times they won't let you do that, but that's fine. You can let it do the handoff. And, you know, I always said, and I've said it many times, and I've heard others say, oh, don't have two routers both working as routers. Don't have them both do the network address translation. But my friend Steve Gibson, who probably knows more than I've ever known, tells me that it's okay. There might be slight overhead, but not much. So my first choice would be turn on bridging on the Asus, and that'll be easy to do. That'd just be a check. you know, use this as a bridge. Because a lot of times, Wi-Fi router, that's what you want. My second choice would be just don't do anything. See if it works. And if you know different, let me know or go to our website, techguylabs.com, and put it a comment. Because I'm just trusting Steve on this one. I haven't actually done any research on it. I always use one as a bridge. Bridging just means don't do any work. Just be there. Just be there for me, will you? Kenny in Monrovia, California. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Yeah, hi, Leo. I'm a senior octogenarian, and I'm just starting off in the learning curve. I've never had a computer before. I just had a modem and a router installed last week.
Congratulations. That's wonderful.
Wi-Fi, and my kids urged me to do something, so I went out and bought a MacBook Pro 15-inch Retina.
Good.
I'm having a dickens of a time. Oh. I probably 3 hours a night. I don't get to bed until 2 o'clock in the morning. I used to go to bed at 10 o'clock.
Oh, you mean a dickens of a good time. That's awesome.
Well, it's good, but it's not good.
Uh-oh.
I'm having trouble with email. The basic stuff, and I don't like the email for the Mac. It's just too complicated for me where I have to cursor about 10 different things to do what I want to do, and I don't know what I'm doing.
Well, the good news on email is you only have to get it working once.
Right, I know that.
And then once it's working, you'll enjoy it for the rest of your life. So you don't have to worry about it again, at least the life of that Mac.
Yeah, I've tried to put photos into the email from... I can't do that.
Okay, so your email is sending and receiving. You're getting email and you're able to send it out, right?
Yeah, I can do that.
Okay, so that's good. It means you've configured your email properly.
Right.
So you're using... Whose email are you using? The internet service provider's email?
Well, let me tell you the story. My son came in. He says the Mac email is too complicated. He's
on
Chrome.
Okay. Hold on, because we have to take a break, but I want to hear the rest of the story. So hang on. Can you hang on a couple of minutes? We'll be right with you. Got to take a break for the fine folks who make this show possible. 8888 Ask Leo. More of your calls still to come. You're absolutely right. What Jay didn't know is that, in fact, that DSL modem is also a router, so he's got the firewall. He didn't need to buy the ASUS. On the other hand, generally, those modems that are provided by internet service providers aren't very good. So I don't mind seeing Jay buy a better router from ASUS. And he's now added Wi-Fi, which I think he'll find is great. So that's why people do it. Our show today brought to you by my sheets. I love it. So, okay, we were traveling last night. Stayed in a very nice hotel. It was nice. But I missed my mattress and I missed my sheets. And that's because I have the best sheets ever. The Boll & Branch sheets. The most comfortable sheets on the planet. Now, you're going to hear people who swear it's all about you got to get the thread count there. I've got 18,000 threads. That is marketing hoo-ha. You don't want the sheets with the best thread count. You want the sheets with the best cotton. Thread count has nothing to do with quality. In fact, I've been fooled. I bought sheets, Chinese sheets with, 1,800 threads per inch or whatever it is. No, terrible. That's why I get Boll & Branch. They are different. First of all, you can only get them at BollandBranch.com. Unlike a lot of sheets where they sell them in department stores and they get 800% markup, Boll & Branch sells direct to you. So you're getting quality sheets at a very good price. And they are the most comfortable sheets in the world. I've never slept on such soft, lovely sheets. Entirely organic, fair trade cotton. So it's very good cotton. They don't say which three. Three U.S. presidents sleep on Boll & Branch. That should tell you. These guys can afford whatever they want, right? They sleep on Boll & Branch. And because there's no middleman, you're getting amazingly luxurious sheets for a couple hundred bucks. You're going to love. Now, I know you can get $10 sheets. Don't sleep on those. That's what they use at the Motel 6. You don't want those. You want the nice sheets. Go to BollandBranch.com. If you order right now, $50 off a set of sheets. Go to BollandBranch.com. Use the offer code TECHGUY. They come, by the way, in a lovely box. This would be a great wedding gift. Really nice housewarming gift because it's got a beautiful ribbon on it. It's gorgeous. But I thought, what is this, a wedding gift? No, it's my sheets. B-O-L-L, like cotton bowl. And branch.com. And if you use the offer code TECHGUY at B-O-L-L and branch.com, you will get $50 off your first set of sheets. Won't be your last. I got a couple so we could rotate them, because I don't want to ever be without my Boll & Branch. B-O-L-L and B-R-A-N-C-H .com. Use the offer code TECHGUY. The nicest sheets make your bed a better place. I told Lisa that. I said, I'm going to a better place. She said, what now? I said, no bed. Oh, I thought you were having a heart attack. We're talking to Kenny in Monrovia, and he, is that who we're talking to? Kenny, yes. Hi, Kenny.
Hi, I'm still here.
Good. Sorry about that. I had to put you on hold. So,
no
your
problem.
Son said, oh, no, Dad, don't use Apple Mail.
Get Chrome, Google.
Get Google Chrome. That's the browser. Okay.
Right. So then he put me on that, and it's not any easier for me because I don't know how to get photos from Photo Booth into the email. That's one problem. But my big problem right now, I mean, I'll have this and I'll play with it.
I love it. Your son sets you up and then goes, see you, Dad.
Yeah, I'll work it out.
But you will. You know what? This is normal. This is part of the challenge, and I'm glad to help. But this is why you did it. You're learning this stuff, and the first time, it's hard.
I'm not really asking you how to do this.
Okay,
I've gone to four of the Apple tutorials,
yep.
And I've one on one a couple of times.
Yep, I think that's great.
What I need now is I had a prepaid track phone which I had for 10 years, and I lost it, and all my my phone stuff with, as far as phone book.
Right.
I have to replace it now. So yeah. I want to get a cheap one. They're $10. It's $20. And I already have the minutes in the old one, so I can transfer it.
Okay.
So I narrowed it down to three different ones, and I don't know if you have the capability of telling me which one of these to get.
I'm not an expert, I'm sorry to say, on what we call feature phones. That's because they don't want to say dumb phones.
These are Androids.
Oh, yeah. They are Android. All right.
Yeah. One is an LG Optimus Fuel.
Okay.
Second one is an Alcatel A205G.
Yep.
And the next one is a ZTE Valet, and they're all Androids.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if your concern is not to spend any money, I think these are okay. They're not bad, and any of them would be fine. I would probably get the ZTE, but they're all, you know, LG makes great phones. They're all fine. Alcatel is a French company. I'm not as familiar with its phones.
The LG Fuel, Optimus Fuel, is a reconditioned.
Okay.
It's a 0.4.
Okay. That's the problem, is none of these are modern Android.
Well, all I need is just somebody, you know, a number where people could call me and I could call somebody else. I'm not really interested in the features.
I'd almost suggest that you not get a smartphone, although I understand that one of your criteria here is that you not lose your contacts ever again.
Right.
The problem with these is, so 4.4, which is the Android version, KitKat,
yeah.
That it runs on this, is two versions behind now. And what you're not getting is security patches for it. And I worry a little bit about that. Android has become a little bit of a problematic platform for people because, unfortunately, companies like LG and Alcatel and ZTE make these older phones or cheaper phones, and they don't update them. And the carrier, who's the carrier you're talking to?
TracFone.
Okay, TracFone doesn't update them either. It has to go through. So Google fixes problems with these phones. And then they go to the manufacturer, say, okay, we fix it. Now the manufacturer tests it with their phone, and they say, okay, it's working. Now they send it to the carrier, and the carrier says, I'm not paying bandwidth for that, and shuts it down. They have to go through three layers, Google, manufacturer, carrier, to get an update to you. And the fact that they're selling you a phone that's two versions old, it's like saying, I'll sell you a computer that's on Windows XP. It's
right.
It's really, I think... I don't want to say reprehensible, but it's not the greatest idea for them to do that because they're selling phones to people that are out of date, and
right.
they're not fixed. They're not. You know, I'd almost prefer if all you want to do is get phone calls. You're not going to send email or surf the web with this.
No.
Then just get a dumb phone.
What's a dumb phone?
A phone that doesn't have a glass screen and have icons on it. Just a phone that's the old kind of phone. Remember we used to buy phones, you'd flip it open, you'd dial a number, you'd answer the phone.
Okay, that's good.
Because that's not going to have the security issues that this phone's going to have.
What sort of security would there be? Just my phone book, that's all.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't care, there's the other issue is, okay, so let's say somebody decides to take advantage of you. They get malware on there. Then they start sending paid text messages.
Oh, no, I don't want
to. I mean, it's just, I don't want to scare you. I don't think this is very widespread. I just think it's not really appropriate for these companies to be selling you phones that are this old.
Right.
And unless you need the features, I would say just get a phone that you dial. You won't have your email on. You won't have your contacts on it. You'll have to enter those by hand, I guess. But, I mean, do you have 100 contacts?
Oh, no. Just maybe 20, 30.
Yeah. I mean, that's the nice thing of the smartphone is your calendar is in there, your phone book's in there. It synchronizes with Google. Google synchronizes with your Mac. You make a change in your Mac, it goes to the phone and vice versa. Those are really nice features. But for those, I would recommend a more modern phone only because I just feel like... I mean, the LG be fine. Any of them would be fine. You're not going to take pictures with it?
Well, yeah, if it's got a camera, I might.
It does. They're not very good. They're 3-megapixel cameras. They're all right.
Yeah.
I mean, the reason these are cheap, but, you know, you can get... Here's what I would do. I guess you want to stay with TracFone, huh?
Yeah, because I have the minutes. I just want to transfer.
Yeah. See, what I would probably do is go to, say, T-Mobile, which has a $30 a month plan.
Uh-huh.
So the older iPhones, you'd be much happier with an iPhone. The older iPhones are low cost or free. That's why Apple keeps selling them. So the current phone is the 6S. Last year's is the 6. The year before is the 5S. So that means the 5S, which is two generations old, should be available for $0 or very low dollars. Now might be on TracFone. You should inquire. If that's the case, that's what you should get because, first of all, those are secure. Apple keeps those up to date. It will work with your computer nicely. It will synchronize contacts, email, everything. And you might find, wow, I actually might do a little bit of email triage at least. It's hard to read and send emails on a phone, but you can at least see what the emails are and delete ones you don't care about, things like that.
Yeah, my kids are pushing me to get a 6S.
That's expensive and et cetera. But you might see if TracFone sells a low-cost iPhone. If they do, I would go with that over the low-cost Android devices.
Okay, I'll try that.
And if not, you might look at, your kids want you to have, they want to spend your money.
Well, I want to spend my money.
Yeah, it sounds like you're willing to spend a little bit of money. And I think you'd be much happier. In fact, what you'd find is the phone is kind of like a nice companion to that new MacBook.
Right.
So I'm not sure your kids are so wrong. I actually would say get the 6S Plus because the big screen is much more legible.
Right.
It's much more usable if you don't mind carrying a larger phone in your pocket.
But what's the learning curve for that? Because the track phone, I just dial a number and it comes in.
Well, you could still just do that, of course, with an Apple phone, but you could do a lot more. And I would say it's like a computer, but you're not going to have to do the simple stuff. You just press the phone icon and you dial the number. That's not going to be complicated for you, but what happens is you look at that and go, what else can I do? Oh, that's a really good camera. I might use that a little bit more. Oh, how am I going to text? Oh, I can send a picture to my son of this, and you might start using it more. But the nice thing, it's a gentle learning curve. You add capabilities as time goes by.
You think it's too much to handle with the new Mac?
No, I think it's great.
Because I'm trying to learn one thing, and then here's something new coming
along.
Generally
I say try to learn one thing at a time. I think you're absolutely right. Okay. But on the other hand, these go hand in hand. I mean, they're really designed to work with one another.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's going to be the biggest learning curve is what you're experiencing now. You're going to have these frustrating moments where you go, I know I should be able to do this. And then don't listen too much to your son. Like, go back to Safari. You don't have to use Chrome. Your son has opinions about what you should use. You should decide for yourself, I think. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 8888. Ask Leo. That's the phone number. 888-827-5536. Toll free from anywhere in the U.S. and Canada. The website, techguylabs.com. If I mention a link, a product, we'll put it all there. Don't worry. So you don't have to write anything down while you're driving. Tech Guy Labs. .com. John is in Biddleford, Maine. Yeah. Hey, John.
Hi. I'm talking to you on a brand new Sony Xperia C4, I think it is. And I love the phone to death, but there's a deal breaker.
Uh-oh.
Because I use Wi-Fi a lot, more probably than most other people who get their connectivity through data. But anyway, I go to one of these places where you log on to Wi-Fi or a log-on page like McDonald's or Walmart's getting into the act now and yeah. Dunkin' Donuts. Those kinds of public Wi-Fi, I just can't connect to through the phone. Browser just hangs.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering, is there any workaround or is there this something that a lot of cell phones do?
It's because the kind of Wi-Fi you're getting, they call it a captive portal, is really technically breaking how the internet works. But everybody does it. The idea is before you use their free Wi-Fi, they want you to either sign in or agree to terms of service. You're not going to, you know, steal software using it or just see an ad. And that's the captive portal. And Android and iOS are supposed to handle this properly. They have software in there that says, oh, it's one of those, and responds appropriately. Are you using the built-in browser on the Z4?
Yeah, it happens both with the built-in Chrome browser and also I downloaded the Firefox. Does the same thing. It starts as kind of intermittent. In other words, it started off, I would get to the login page and go on, but as I started to download my own apps through the Google Play Store, basically, this is the second phone. I went back to Best Buy and swapped it out, and it's doing the same thing. So I'm wondering.
Yeah, it's a software. It's a software thing because what's supposed to happen is that the operating system goes, oh, it's not really a Wi-Fi access point until you agree. It's a captive portal. Okay, pop up the browser page. And the system has to do this. This is a completely broken way to do it, and it requires, you know, kind of a hack on the part of the Android and iPhone manufacturers to do this. It may be that there's something Sony's done with their Z4 software, because as you know, they heavily modify Android. Do other people report this problem, or is it just you?
Well, that's what I'm trying to find out. Maybe your chat room.
By the way, I feel bad because these are really good phones. The Xperia line is really good. The Z5 just came out. The Z4 came out earlier this year. Great battery life. Good, really good cameras. And there's something about it. I reviewed the Z4, and I can't warm up to them, and so I don't really play with them as much as I ought to. So I apologize because I should know better. I should know this. It's supposed to happen in the operating system. It's conceivable that Sony modified the Android operating system and as a side effect. That's why I asked you if you're using a Sony browser, but you're using Chrome.
Well, it comes built in with Chrome, you know.
Yeah. Okay, all right.
Firefox does the same thing.
Yeah.
You know,
it's the OS. It's not the browser. The OS is supposed to signal send a link to the browser, basically, and say, okay. Do you see when you go to these captive portals, do you see an exclamation mark on the Wi-Fi when you look at the Wi-Fi?
No, it says it's connected, but it isn't really.
Okay, because that's the other thing it's supposed to do. You have updated. Are you? Is it Android 5? Is it which version of Android?
Yeah, it's 5.0 Android.
Lollipop. Okay, so 5.0. I would see if there's an update first of all, because you would.
Oh yeah, the thing is, this phone has updated itself. I've tried to update everything.
Yeah.
You know, all the updates on all the bloatware and everything.
Because
like
Lollipop
that.
Is at 5.1.1. I don't know what Sony's policy about updating it is, but. Mm-hmm. You want to get to 5.1.1. You also want to be patient because sometimes this captive portal thing doesn't work right away. So the first thing I would say is, you know, join the Starbucks or McDonald's Wi-Fi and sit there. Don't even open the browser. Just sit there.
Mm-hmm.
And it may take 30 seconds, and then the browser should open up and say, oh. The other thing you might need to look at, who's the carrier on this?
Okay, well, I do it dirt cheap because I get AT&T through this reseller called Pure Talk USA. You've heard of them?
Yep.
At $10 a month for 130
so
minutes.
So Pure Talk may also have done something. You got to make sure that the APN settings, this is a little tricksy. You got to go into the settings and then go into it's in more under or maybe in the cellular settings and look at the APN settings. You might want to call Pure Talk and say, "What should my APN settings be?" Those are the settings that give you internet through the phone.
Well, this is an unlocked phone. I just transferred the.
I see. Okay. I think the settings are, there's something with the settings, or it's possible Sony's done something. But since I don't see, I'm looking and I don't see a hue and cry around captive portals in the Z4, then much more likely.
C4 is in Celtic or.
Oh, C4.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't even know that one. Mm-hmm. Xperia C4. All right. Well, that must be a relative of the Z4. But,
Okay. One other question I would have, since my price point is $250 to $300, if I have to take this back to Best Buy and maybe swap it out for another phone, is there another...
I could tell you, for instance, that, you wish you could maybe look at the Nexus 5, which is last year's Google Nexus phone. That's a pure Android phone and for sure handles captive portals properly.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's the settings. I can't imagine anybody release a phone that doesn't handle captive portals, because that's all you see out there in the quote open Wi-Fi world.
Right.
I would take a look at – I would call customer service at Pure Talk. And make sure your settings are correct. The IP settings, the APN settings, all that. The APN really shouldn't affect it, because the APN is about the internet from the carrier, not from, from AT&T, not from the Wi-Fi. But it could impact it.
Right.
Make sure you don't have a proxy set up and things like that. There's things that could block it.
The only data service I have is internet on the go, Wi-Fi. So I don't get data from Pure Talk. I just get the cell phones.
I wonder if that's related.
So,
That's interesting. Because I think before, I don't know. It's really, to be fair, the captive portals are to blame. They're breaking the internet. That's not the way it's supposed to work. But it's so widespread now that both iOS and Android have, handled it. They had to.
Mm-hmm.
But boy, that is just a mess. I would take a look at, call Pure Talk, make sure your settings are stock. Since you're not using their data, they may say, well, you don't have any APN settings. That may be part of it. I wonder.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder.
So APN settings, in a typical Android operating system, where would I find
them? They're carrier specific. It's in the settings. Usually I think let me just look on my phone. I think it's under more. That more section up there in the connectivity.
Right, yeah.
If it's not, it'll be under the cellular settings or data usage. Let me see. So under more and cellular networks, I don't see any settings there either. So I don't – this is an interesting problem. I'm going to have to ask the chat room to help us out if they come up with a solution. We'll let you know, or we'll put it in the show notes.
And just before I get off with you, you're saying that if I want to try a different cell phone about the same cost, see if Best Buy has a Nexus 5.
Yeah, Google's selling the Nexus 5s really cheaply. They've been outdated now by the new 5X and 6P. That's the previous model.
Life and
yeah, they're good. People love them. They'll be comparable to your C4, yeah. Battery life is really good on the Sonys. I don't know if anything can beat the Sonys for battery life.
That's one of the best things about this.
I know. And in fact, you're going to be very disappointed in general. The other one you might look at, if they still sell it, that did have similar battery life, is the OnePlus 1. They now are out to the 2. They have the OnePlus 2. But the OnePlus 1, which should be fairly affordable. It was affordable to be new. OnePlus.net.
Oh, okay. All right.
Okay. And then I'll check into this issue on captive portals. I mean, it's a known problem. But everybody does it. You go to a hotel, got to check, got to, enter usually your name and room number and the secret word. Anytime you see a page pop up when you join Wi-Fi, that's what we call a captive portal. And it's a bad, bad solution. But nobody's come up with a better one, I guess. So that's what we're just going to have to live with it. Apple does all sorts of interesting mojo to get those to work on iPhones. Actually, Apple does a very good job with those in general. Not sure exactly what it is. I'm trying to think and nothing happens. 8888 Ask Leo. That's what we got the chat room for. Or you too, our great listening audience. You give us a ring or go to the website, techguylabs.com, and add it in the comments. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the tech guy. Time to talk computers, the internet, home theater, digital photography, smartphones, smart watches, and all that jazz. 8888 Ask Leo is the number. 888-827-5536. That's toll free from anywhere in the U.S. or Canada. Outside that area, you can Skype us. The website is techguylabs.com. I wish I had a better answer for that that last caller with the captive portals and the Sony C4, and I just don't know. I just do not know. We'll have to figure that one out. Maybe somebody will help me. Mitch is on the line next from Fontana, California. Hi, Mitch.
Hey, Leo. How's it going?
I'm doing great.
I have a question for you. Hopefully you can help me out.
Okay.
I've been using Windows Media Center on my Windows PCs for years as a DVR.
You're the one. You're the one using it. That's great.
Yeah, I'm the
Microsoft
one guy.
Microsoft says nobody uses it, you know. That's why they killed it.
I liked it because it was unlike other DVR capturing software because it integrated directly with the remote guide, so didn't have to manually set times and,
you
and
know what?
Channels record, just select the program.
You don't have to talk me into it. It was awesome, and I'm furious with Microsoft.
Yeah, and that's my problem. When I upgraded to Windows 10, it's no longer there.
They delete it.
You know what? I'm guessing that they probably did that because the Xbox One has that capability now.
I think that's the thinking, but it's terrible. So here's the deal. They said they stopped developing it in 2009. There hasn't been any changes. But that's fine. It worked, right? They also said, according to our telemetry, very few people used it. And most of the people who opened it closed it immediately and never opened it again. But there are a few.
Satisfied with like an add-on pack.
I agree. And that's what they did with Windows 8. Remember, you had to download it, but you could.
Yeah.
But they don't like it because they didn't put any money into it for 6 years. And they really, I think there's more to it than meets the eye. It's not that people didn't use it. My suspicion is it has something to do with copy protection.
You could be right about that. Now, here's my question. I've moved to Plex for my everyday
excellent,
media center needs.
Excellent choice.
I love it because I love it, especially it integrates directly with my Chromecast.
Works on everything. Works on Apple TV, Roku. TV. Yeah.
And I love that, but I'm still really missing the DVR capability. So, and Plex can't really do that for me. So I'm looking for an alternative.
So there's a couple. You get your TV over cable, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Because if it's over the air, there's some good choices. The people in the chat room, and I haven't tried it, keep telling me HD Home Run. I think they talked about it yesterday with when Scott Wilkinson was filling in. HD Home Run. But does it work with cable? Can you get a... yes, it does support cable cards. So what you'd have to do is go to your cable company, go to the store in town, the cable company store, and say, hey, I need a cable card. And what they do is they say, I don't want my set-top box anymore. I'm going to do my own set-top box. You may be doing this already because you have a Windows Media Center. Have you been doing it that way?
Oh, I was, but I've switched providers since that happened.
So you got to get a cable card from the new provider, and you'll put it in this thing called the – it's from Silicon Dust. And it's designed to give you back the HDR capability, but it's just, all it really does is interfaces to your cable and gets it on the network. Then it's up to you to record and all of that.
Okay.
And there are good choices out there like Myth TV, which is a Linux distribution.
I dual boot myself with OpenSUSE.
Okay, so you know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So to my knowledge, this is the best choice for people who want to continue to do it. It's kind of a roll-your-own solution. Nothing is as easy. Oh, wait a minute. They do have their own DVR software. That's good. So they're really pushing. In fact, here's the front page. On July 29th, we said goodbye to Windows Media Center. Find out how to use HD Home Run DVR to replace it. So I guess they're really trying to replace it. Yeah, it's from silicondust.com. Not expensive. It's just basically what it is you need the hardware to take the encrypted cable signal, decrypt it, and then you put it out on the network and use their software on a PC. Because it's not a PC. It's not a DVR, really. It's just a box.
Right. Okay, I'll have to check that out. Basically, one more thing.
Yeah.
The last guy who was talking about the, you know, he had the issues with the portal. I have that issue on my phone, too. I have an LG G3.
Mm-hmm.
And what seems to always fix it is if I just close whatever tabs I have open my browser and point it towards Google, it resets the connection.
Point it towards which?
It pointed towards Google.com.
So you just close everything and then open Google.com.
And then when I do that, it'll load the browser.
Yeah. Page. You have to kind of kick it. I've had that experience sometimes too. Okay, good tip. I knew the chat room could help us out, or the audience. Thank you, Mitch. I appreciate it.
All right.
Yeah. So close your browser. You can do that pretty easily. You go, you press the Recents key, and you just press the Xbox, and you close it, get rid of it. He says close the tabs. You don't have to do that. Just close the browser. You should close all the tabs, and then open it again, and maybe that'll kickstart the captive portal. I think it's interesting that Microsoft decided not to do the Media Center. I cannot think that it has to have been enough of a business for them to do. They really owned that market. But remember, the first step in this was killing the Windows Media Extender. Remember they had the Windows Home Server, which worked beautifully with the Media Extender. You had Windows Media Center. It was a great DVR solution, really great. They owned that market, and I think that it doesn't have anything to do with it. People didn't use it. Maybe people didn't use it, but it doesn't matter. I think it really has much more to do with just not wanting to get engaged with Hollywood about copyrights. Because, the people who make movies and TV shows are very, very afraid when you make digital recordings of their stuff that you will then burn a DVD and start selling it in your eBay store. And that's, of course, what you could do. It wasn't encrypted. It was easy to do that. You had it on your own hard drive on your computer. They didn't like that. And I think that there was a backroom deal. There's got to be. They said, at Microsoft, we will not sue you if you were to put that software out of business. Now, the reason they want you to move to the Xbox is now they can put copy protection on it. You can't get at that hard drive. It's not a PC. You can't get at that hard drive, get the stuff off of it. Yeah, that is much. We are much happier with that kind of solution there, Microsoft. We encourage you to do that. Microsoft has said, they haven't done it yet, that they will put out a... Because right now, you cannot use it, the Xbox One as a DVR, because there's no way to get the cable signal into it. They said they put out a little box that does that. They sell one in Europe, apparently. But that's moving slow, too. I think Microsoft... They didn't want to get in this. Remember, for years, ever, Apple never... ever put a Blu-ray disc player, a movie player in their computers. Steve Jobs said, it's a bag of hurt. Well, where did the hurt come from? The same guys. Hey, Apple, we would appreciate it if you would make it very difficult for people to record our TV shows and sell them on eBay. So it's really about piracy. I'm convinced. You don't have to look too far for a culprit in this one. So the good news is Silicon Dust, which is a smaller target, has decided they've always made this HD home run, which is a clever idea. And that kind of eliminated the issue. So you do your own DVR. We'll just make it possible. We'll just put the cable TV signal on your network. And what you do with it, that's your problem. I think it's interesting that they're now selling DVR software. They see an opportunity. It's a good business opportunity here. Seems like a good adjunct to Plex. Plex is a media player that allows you to take content that's stored on a hard drive, on a computer, on a network-attached storage, and then play it on your TV using, he said he uses Chromecast, but you could use Roku. Lots of ways to do that. Really, the truth is we have spoken. The audience has spoken. We want to be able to watch when we want to watch, where we want to watch in any way, and the problem is Hollywood's terrified of piracy. But at some point, they have to give people what they want. They really do. They're working on it as fast and as hard as they can. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. More coming up right after this. Our show today brought to you by Gazelle.com. Gazelle is a great place for you to know about if you're the kind of person, and I suspect you are if you listen to this podcast, that wants the latest and greatest, wants to upgrade, wants to make sure you're not stuck with a years-old phone. You might say, well, yeah, but I don't want to be wasteful. I throw that phone in the drawer. No, you sell it at Gazelle, G-A-Z-E-L-L-E. The nice thing about Gazelle is they'll give you a quote that's guaranteed for 30 days. It's a non-commitment. It's a commitment from them, but not from you. You'd have 30 days to decide what to do. You're getting a new phone. I think you're a perfect example, Kim Schaffer. You know you're getting a new phone. She already bought the screen protector. But she's not. So what you do now Because I guarantee you, the old stuff's getting older and getting less valuable every minute we talk. Go now and get that 30-day locked-in price. GAZELLE.com. And then you can relax. You can say, okay, I know what I'm going to get for it. And, you know, get the phone or not, but you're not committed. At the end of the 30 days, by the way, you might as well just do it for everything. Don't look at that gadget drawer. I guarantee you, you have literally hundreds of dollars worth of stuff in there. You wouldn't throw $100 bills in that drawer and just let them gather dust. Don't do that with your gadgets. Hundreds of bucks worth of stuff. Sell it to Gazelle. It's easy. They send you the box. They pay the shipping on anything worth more than a buck. If you get to wipe data, they wipe it for you. And then if you're in the market for a new phone and you want to save money, they also sell. They sell pre-owned devices, but they're certified. They go through a rigorous 30-point check. There's a 30-day return policy. They're sold without carrier contract, but they are, of course, support all the major carriers, AT&T and Verizon and T-Mobile and Sprint. Devices are available in good and excellent conditions. Good conditions, so some gentle signs of wear, but offers great prices on still great devices. This is great if you lose a phone or your kid breaks their phone. You know, it really is a perfect replacement. It's probably in better condition than your old phone. And you have the 30 days return policy. Gazelle. They have a great selection of pre-owned devices, amazing prices, from the iPhone 4S through the 6 Plus, for iPads, the Air, the Mini, the Standard. There are even Samsung Galaxy phones there. So to sell or to buy, G-A-Z-E-L-L-E, gazelle.com. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 8888, ask Leo. Let's go to Julian in Los Angeles. Hi, Julian.
Hey, Leo. Good to talk to you. It was really nice visiting you back in late July with my girlfriend, my friends. It was really fun.
Yeah, thank you for coming up.
It was fun. So I wanted to share something with your blind, visually impaired visitors out there in the LA area and even beyond. There's a technology conference that takes place. And what's neat about this is that unlike mainstream electronics and technology, you can't go to Best Buy and look at some of this stuff.
Right.
So
right.
This is like, for some people, the once in a year chance to get their hands on some of this technology. And it's a free event that's open for everybody to attend.
Yeah.
It's called the Best in Tech Conference. And they can find out about it by going to www.bestintech.info. And what's neat, too, I mentioned for people who aren't in the L.A. area who want to know more about it, is that they record all the archives of the presentation. So you can go back and listen to everyone that's been done in the years past. And, of course, when this year gets done, they put it up there. Aside from the workshops and the hands-on opportunity, there's a panel of speakers that gets up, and these are just like regular everyday people, not salespeople, that just get up and talk a little bit about a piece of technology that's made a big difference in their life this year. So just wanted to share that with the listeners who want to attend and learn more about
that.
Thank
you. You know, we've mentioned it every year for some years now.
Yeah, you have, and I really appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you, Julian.
It definitely helps us to get the word out there.
Yeah.
And then the other question I had for you real quick is, do you recommend a good ad blocker for Windows? I use it on iOS now, and it's great. As a blind person, one of the things that's most annoying about these ads is that it makes the screen reader take forever to...
Yeah, and I imagine it makes sites unusable because you have to click an X and stuff and... Terrible.
Yeah, and it takes longer. You know, every time you launch a page, the screen reader has to go and literally map out everything on that
read
page.
Every ad. Oh, Lord.
On iOS, it's made a tremendous difference.
Yeah, I
just open up pages and I can get to the content nice and quickly. So I was just wondering if there was anything you recommended for Windows. I use Internet Explorer and Firefox as my main browsers. If there's anything you recommend for that.
You can't use it on Internet Explorer, but there is a Firefox extension for something called uBlock Origin.
Okay.
UBLOCK, Origin is spelled like you'd think. And that is easily, in my opinion, the best, most complete ad blocker. There's a Chrome extension as well. So it's for Firefox or Chrome. And the guy who wrote it was part of the original uBlock team. And then they had, as is often the case, he's kind of fractious. They had a kind of split. But anyway, uBlock Origin, it's a long story. But he does an amazing job. It's very highly configurable. And one of the things I think is really important, and a lot of the iOS ad blockers don't do this, remember that when you use an ad blocker, you're blocking ads on all sites. Some ads are not intrusive, not a problem. And it's generally on the smaller sites where they really depend on the revenue. I'm thinking of the one-man blogs like daringfireball.net, John Gruber's blog. He has very unobtrusive ads, but they get blocked along with everything else. So if you're going to use an ad blocker, it's really my strong preference to use one that allows you to whitelist a site easily. To say, yeah, you know what, whenever I go to this site, I want those ads. Now, for you, that's less important. I don't think anybody's going to worry about you. But
and to be honest, a lot of the ads are not labeled correctly anyway, so the JAWS doesn't even read it as an ad. It's just a bunch of numbers. And
yeah,
gibberish.
Terrible.
No sense to
gibberish.
It anyway.
Yeah. No, it's terrible. uBlock is uBlock Origin. Not uBlock, but uBlock Origin is fantastic. Use that white for those of you who are sighted, for sure, use the whitelister. Because the bad side of ad blocking is you're going to end up putting out a lot of the better small sites out of business because they rely on that ad revenue. There are sites who misuse it. They tend to be the big sites. I don't care if you block every ad on Huffington Post. That's fine. Personally, I strongly encourage it. But for the little guys, and by the way, Huffington Post will find a way to make money without your, revenue. The ad tech guys have brought this on themselves. It's not just you. It's not just people with low vision or no vision that are having trouble with this. All of us suffer from these unusable sites, especially on mobile. It's just terrible. So I'm mixed feelings. I have for my whole life, everything I've ever done has been paid for by advertisers. I've always done ad-free media on radio, on TV, on the internet. That's how I prefer to do it because I feel like it's democratizing. You don't have to pay a fee to see what I do. I want everybody who wants it to get it. And our advertisers, we pick them. We hand-pick them. We're very careful. We care a lot about the experience for our users as well as for our advertisers. But but there are some places where it's just out of control.
I agree.
uBlock Origin. Thank you. And don't forget, besttech.info, and it's coming up next Saturday, November 14th. Thank you, Julian.
Thank you.
I really appreciate it.
Thanks.
Excuse me. I just swallowed a fly. I think there's a fly in here. The good news is there's no longer a fly in here. 8888, ask Leo. Mike in Maine. I think it's protein, isn't it? Hi, Mike.
It is protein, and it's delicious.
Delicious. Well, I'm not going to say that, but yeah.
Hey, you're second caller from Maine in the same hour, I think.
Two maniacs in a row, yeah.
Absolutely.
How come you don't talk like that?
Because I didn't grow up in Maine, and even if you do grow up in Maine, even if you live all your life in Maine, if you're born in another state, you can't be a maniac because...
I agree.
You know what they say? They say just because a cat has kittens in the oven, don't make them biscuits.
I hope not. What can I? That sounds like a Maine aphorism.
It is a Maine aphorism.
Yes. Just because the cat has kittens in the oven don't make it biscuits. What can I do for you, my friend?
Well, it's about choosing a phone again. I'm still deciding. As you may recall, I'm a Luddite. Privacy frightens me.
You're not going to get away with that much longer, by the way. We're going to let you pass this time, Mike, but you're becoming less of a Luddite all the time. You know that.
Well, I know that, and I'm at the point where I really do need a smartphone. So I'm looking at three different phones right now, cheap ones. One, Amazon had the second generation Moto X for $199, which seemed to be a pretty good deal.
That's a very good price, yeah.
But then there's a Moto G, the new one, the 16-gig one, you can get for $219. And the OnePlus X is coming out for $250. And those were three that I was looking at, unless you had another recommendation. I was wondering what you thought around that.
Those are all great phones. The first generation Moto X was my favorite phone for 2014. I thought that was the greatest thing. Actually, 2013, wasn't it? The 2014 Moto X, which is the one you're looking at, is bigger, has a lot of the nice features. But the battery life, I'm afraid, they sacrificed that to screen resolution. And you're seeing that in the Android world. More and more. OnePlus does not do that and usually gets very good battery life. I would take a look at the OnePlus. The only thing I didn't like about the OnePlus 2 is the screen was a little washed out. It was an LCD screen. I didn't think it was the best screen ever. They saved money, I think, on the screen. But you know what? For $299, of the three, it'd be my first choice. The Moto G is good, but it's more expensive. Go with the OnePlus. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Yeah, the OnePlus X, I haven't seen, main man. And I can't say if they, you know, as far as I can tell, it's the same as the OnePlus 2 with better styling. But I'm not sure. You know, I haven't gotten one yet. And, of course, getting one is going to be a challenge. Price is amazing. In fact, it's even less than the OnePlus 2, right? I would love to get the ceramic one. That's only available in the U.S. So it looks a lot like an iPhone. There's some things I love about the OnePlus 2, and this has it as well, as the notification switch. Just like an iPhone, you could turn off sound with a physical switch. Camera was very good. Not maybe the best camera out there, but it was very good. This looks like it's the same. Yeah, wasn't crazy about the display. It looks like it's all the same technology with just a new body, but I couldn't say for sure. Yeah, it's the dual SIM thing, which is interesting, plus SD card, which I like. I hear that they've really improved Oxygen OS. You know, I have my OnePlus 2. I should really update the OS. I have put that one on Ting. That's my Ting phone. I'm just really not sure what's the difference. Well, man, I mean, I think it's the same as the OnePlus 2 with just a better, or a, I don't know, you know, I'm really, I think the specs are the same. There's the OnePlus X. Let's get the specs for the OnePlus 2. What do you say? That's what we should do. Just go head to head on these. So the OnePlus 2 is a 810 processor, 1.8, 430 Adreno, 4 gigs of RAM. Get the 4 gig version. You're going to want 64 gigs of storage. 3300 battery. Let's just see here. The OnePlus X is also, oh, it's a slower processor. So that should give you better battery life, actually. Less RAM. Oh, they only have 16 gigs. That's, I guess, I get it. So this is the cheap, and it's a much smaller battery. But that might give you the same battery life. So in other words, it's a cheap version of the OnePlus 2. let's look at the screen. It is a Active Matrix OLED. Oh, that's interesting, because the OnePlus 2 is an LCD, I believe. Yeah, it's an Intel LCD. So you know what? It actually might be a better display. That's interesting. It's more dots per inch. It's a little bit smaller. You know, I would say the OnePlus X, especially because it's a much lower price. The question is, can you get by with 16 gigs? And you probably can, because you have an SD card in it. That's an awfully low. And no fingerprint reader. Boy, I really think the fingerprint reader is important. So I'm talking with Mike from Maine off the air. He's in our chat room about the OnePlus X, which is a low-cost version of the OnePlus 2. You know, the one thing I really didn't like about the OnePlus 2 was the screen. They've replaced the screen with an OLED screen, which should look much better. It's a cheap version of the OnePlus 2. It has a slower processor, a lot less storage. That would be one concern. 16 gigs of storage is not a lot on an Android device. You probably get by with it if you don't have a lot of apps. I would be hard pressed. My apps alone would fill that up, because you can add an SD card. You can put media, you know, music and movies and audiobooks on the SD card, so you don't have to worry about that. The other thing I would definitely miss, maybe you wouldn't, is the fingerprint reader. I think all phones nowadays, my opinion, and of course it is the high-end, most expensive phones, should have a fingerprint reader. You pay for that. But boy, the security you get and the convenience you get is fantastic. Apple really showed the way. They weren't the first with a fingerprint reader, but they were the first with a good fingerprint reader, one that not only worked well and was secure, but was fast enough to use day in, day out. And now everybody's done it. I just got the new Nexus 6P. And this is how a fingerprint reader should be. They've really done this very well. The fingerprint reader on the new Nexus 6P, this is the Google phone. This one was made by a Chinese company called Huawei. It's not where the fingerprint reader normally is. Apple puts theirs and Samsung puts theirs on the home button on the front. Some companies put it on the on-off switch, which is, I haven't experienced, but Sony's doing that. That's a little bit weird. But I think probably the best place to put it is where Google puts it, on the back. And the reason is when you take it out of your pocket or you're holding your hand, it's just a natural place for you to put your finger, your forefinger. The other thing is you don't have to turn this phone on. Even when it's off, you just put your finger on the fingerprint reader and it immediately unlocks it. I mean immediately, within a half second, unlocks it and it's ready to use. And that's such a natural move. I have to commend them for that. There's some other issues I'm having, and I don't know if it's just this. I think it's mine. I'm noticing some slowdowns and hesitations, and the camera has been less than good. It's been slow to take a picture, real slow to take a picture. Like, I just press the button and nothing's happened yet. Slow to take a picture and still nothing. Let's press the button again. Yeah, and still having that problem. I wonder if this is me. I might have to rebuild this phone and see. There, it finally took a picture. It took a while. That must be a software issue with me. I haven't heard other people report that. But it is kind of an Android-y kind of, unfortunately, thing, this kind of sluggishness and hesitation. When Android gets busy, it stops responding. And Samsung's had a lot of that. Yeah, camera isn't responding. Do you want to close it? Yeah, I tried to a while ago. I feel like maybe this is just this one. It's the hard thing about reviewing products is if you get a lemon, you don't want to say that the entire category is a lemon. You just want to say, oh, I have a lemon. So maybe I just got a lemon. Unfortunately, these are the kind of symptoms that you start to see with Android phones in general. That's not good. I was looking forward to switching back from the iPhone, but I think I'm going to stay on the iPhone 6S Plus. The battery life is amazing. I think Apple has let iOS age a little more than it should. It's not really, it's still a little bit icon heavy. I think they could make a better interface. Maybe they are working on it. But to their credit, everything works. It works smoothly. It works well. So I may end up back on the iPhone 6S Plus. I was really hoping for this 6P. I had high hopes. Pure Google. Beautiful phone. Love that fingerprint reader. Camera's excellent if I get it to work. Screen is as good as any screen I've ever used. Really gorgeous. Battery life is only mediocre, I'm sorry to say. I was really hoping for better battery life. 8888 Ask Leo. That's the phone number. Let's move on. Ed is on the line from San Diego. Hello, Ed.
Hello, Ed. Hey, Leo. How you doing?
Great. Welcome.
Great. Welcome. Hey, I got a question about these plans for replacing your phone, because phones are so expensive that if you break it that first year, you're in deep trouble.
I know. It's crazy. I mean, they make it's a $1,000 device, and they make it slippery. You know, I mean, what are they up to?
So I know they're worth it. I just don't know which one to use.
Yeah.
To buy it to.
Well, look carefully at you're talking about the extended warranty plans, like AppleCare.
Yeah. The ones that will replace or.
Look carefully at them, because I feel like, look, all of these plans make money for the companies that offer them, right? Insurance makes money.
Sure.
So you got to see, how are they doing that? So almost all of them, I include Apple's AppleCare Pro Plus, whatever the heck they call it. They offer replacement phones, but there are limitations. A, there's a deductible. Of course, it's not as much as a phone, but there's a deductible. And there's a limited number of times you can use it. And so I would look at that and then look at the cost. So what you really want to do is add the cost of the deductible to the cost of the insurance plan and see if that makes sense to you. Really, what Apple's doing is betting that fewer people will use it, and so they'll make money on it. If you're prone to dropping phones, it's probably worth it.
No, not me. I'm meet so much as my wife.
Yeah, I would strongly suggest a good case. But even with a good case, there's one, you know, Achilles heel on all smartphones. That's that pane of glass in front. You can't really cover, right. You can't cover it and make it useful. They do make cases with lids. You might want to look at those. There's some very good cases with covers. I make my daughter get that one. She's only broken 12 phones, so I figure I can say now. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, because the glass, there's nothing you can do. I see, you know, the new LG G4 V10, they're promoting the drop this phone. It's unbreakable. Well, I'm less suspicious. If a pointed rock hits that glass, there's nothing you can do. It's going to shatter unless you've got a cover. So I would look at good, strong cases, ballistic cases with covers for your wife. That's the best insurance you can buy. And then if you feel like, well, she's still likely to break it, or I'm still likely to break it, then maybe look at these extended warranties. The replacement warranties, you always want to read the fine print, though, because they're rarely, you know, you broke it. That's great. Here, have another one. It's always, there's a catch or two. You got to read those carefully. Because as with all insurance, it's based on the idea that it's a profit deal. You know what I'm saying? You're trying to make money on the thing. I generally self-insure. That's the alternative. If you don't buy the insurance, you're self-insuring. But see, I've only broken one phone in my life. I rarely drop phones. I always have a pretty good case on them. And so I'm willing to take the chance, save the money on the insurance. And if I drop it, it's on me. Most phones can be, this is the other thing to investigate. What's the cost of repairing a broken screen? Most phones, you don't have to buy a new phone. You can repair the broken screen. That may be a couple of $100. Now, compare that to the deductible plus the cost of the insurance, and you might say to yourself, that's not a great deal. But you have to make that decision. I can't make it for you. As long as you understand the parameters, you read carefully the fine print, and you understand what you're paying for. It's got to work out so they make money. I self-insure. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888 Ask Leo. More of your calls coming up right after this. You got an iPhone, right? Yeah, I like the 6S Plus. Yeah. Yep. Can't help it. Nothing you can do. But I'm trying to remember which one Abby has. She has one with a cover. It's probably an OtterBox. I'm not going to do that because but there's nothing. This is a real vulnerability.
I don't even have the new phone yet, but I just came.
Oh, you're getting one.
But I came across this in the store yesterday. It's the tempered glass thing. So this will break first,
right?
Before
it'll break, and then the glass will break.
Well, hopefully the other glass won't break. That's the point.
Yeah, we'll see. Good luck. I hate putting screen covers on. I never use screen covers.
I have nothing on my HTC One.
You haven't dropped it?
And I haven't dropped it.
So you're getting the new iPhone?
Eventually,
you decided?
Eventually.
You're thinking about it? When's your contract run out?
Oh, it did in September.
So you're just saving your pennies.
It did a few days before the new phones were announced.
Right.
So I had to
wait for that.
And then I had to wait for them to come out, and now I'm waiting.
Now you're waiting to see if Leo will give you one before you buy one.
No, I'm waiting till they get to Costco so I don't have to go into a phone store.
Right. Actually, the Apple experience is great.
You mean going into the Apple store?
To get your phone, yeah. That's a great experience. There's certain advantages to that, too. Then they kind of feel responsible for it. If you buy it from AT&T or Costco, then who's responsible for it, AT&T or Costco? If you buy it from Apple, I would get it from Apple. Correct.
Same prices, though.
It's all the same price. You're not going to save money ever.
You get a tiny bit of a discount with Costco.
Oh, yeah, a buck.
A buck. Maybe. It might be a buck.
Yeah. It's not. Apple keeps very tight control on their channels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other phones, they're practically giving away for free.
Right. The 5S? Yeah.
But Samsung phones and other.
Right, because nobody wants them.
Yeah.
I'm so disappointed on this 6P. I really was ready to go, oh, finally, an Android phone with great battery life. But, you know, it's got to be, maybe it's this one. But you saw, how slow it was to, you know, I tried to take pictures in Colorado. It was so frustrating. I was trying to take panos and, all I got was one. Let me try again. Let me see if I can do it. Panorama. First of all, what the hell is that image? Why is that so small? What are you telling me? All right. Now let's take a pano. Okay. Take the picture. The blue dot fills up. And now it's black and frozen. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, there's more. Okay. It's just really slow, I guess. All right. I mean, Apple, you just turn it. And it works. It just works. I have to wipe it and start over. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. To all the phones I've loved before. I should write a song. 8888-ASK. Leo, let's go back to the phones. Brett in Woodbridge, New Jersey. Hey, Brett.
Hey, how you doing, Leo?
I'm good. How you doing?
For you.
Okay.
My first question is, I have a Dell desktop, 380, 47 inch Turon, and I got the recovery DVD from Dell because I haven't really installed my Windows 10. And since I did that, now the Dell Max Audio is not showing up the presets, and I researched it, but I couldn't find anything, so maybe you know something.
I hate it when that happens. So it's the driver, right?
Uh-huh, because I'm getting sound, no problem. But all the presets are missing, and they were there before, you know. And Dell tells me that it's Windows 10.
But the disk you got is a Windows 10 disk, right? This is a Windows. Was this computer running Windows 10 when you got it?
Yes, it was. I bought it with Windows
10. It's a Windows 10 computer. So what are you telling me, Dell? You're telling me you sold me a computer that doesn't work right? I mean, it's a Windows 10 computer. Did it ever have the controls?
Yes, it did have the controls, but something happened, so I had to get the recovery DVD and reinstall 10, and I went to the Dell website.
So it had the controls when it came from the factory. But when you did the restore, they disappeared.
With the Eagleizer. Yes, huh. It did have it.
That's weird.
Yeah, it's very weird.
Yeah.
Because I also have a Dell laptop, and that one came with Windows 8. But that one I have Windows 10 on, and I'm getting the presets from that Dell Max Audio.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It doesn't make any sense, because it seems like they just want to blame Windows 10, and I don't care for their support because it's Philippines.
Well,
and
yeah, you have to pay for the decent support from Dell, because they give the free support is terrible. You're right.
It is terrible. Yeah.
Yeah, you have to pay the Dell Gold, you know, to get the good decent support. But the reason is, how much did you pay for that computer?
$419.
Yeah. All right. So that computer used to cost $1,000. You know, 10 years ago. And the extra money that they made went to tech support. At $400, they're making $1.50 on you. One call to tech support, they're in the hole. So they give you the cheapest possible tech support unless you pay additionally for the support. That's fine. What they've done is they've unbundled support. But where it leaves somebody like you, which with a computer that's not working properly, and it's their fault, by the way, you're kind of up a creek here. What you got to do is go to the Dell website, make sure you have the updated Windows 10 drivers for that. You might go to the Device Manager. So if you hit Windows key X and you go to Device Manager and delete the sound drivers and start and see, and then do plug and play, you know, let Windows, Microsoft replace those, see if that fixes it. It sounds like the driver is just either broken or you got the wrong one or it's not complete. And maybe the wrong one was on the CD. Sometimes they do that, and then they assume that it will get updated by Windows Update. The one that came from the factory was fully updated. The one you've just installed, maybe not. So make sure you run all your updates. Go to Dell. Look for. It may not say that there's a specific sound driver. It may just be motherboard drivers because it's motherboard sound. But just get all the latest drivers from the Dell site. Truth is, you'll do a better job of supporting yourself than they will in this case. And really, that's all it is. It's a driver issue. You got to get the right software. Make sure you get all the software for the sound. And that way, you'll be all right. Tim in San Diego, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Tim.
Oh, hi. How's it going?
That's going good. How you doing?
Good. I have a Toshiba satellite laptop. And it's a really good computer. It has 6 gigs of RAM.
That's a classic.
Is it really?
Yeah.
It's like a 700-something. Well, my wife and I really like to get as much mileage out of everything.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I mean, there's no reason not to.
Yeah, and so our problem is that over the past several months, keys on the keyboard have stopped working, and it's been progressive, like more and more keys aren't working. And I read online that that's actually a software issue a lot of times. And so what I was hoping was if I upgrade to Windows 10,
the first thing I would do, if I were to, how old is that computer?
I mean, my brother gave it to me, and we've been using it for
it's old.
4 years, yeah. 5 years.
If you were that age, your keys would stop working. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
So it could really be a physical flaw. The easiest way to test that, by the way, do you have a wired keyboard from somewhere else you can plug in?
I do.
Yeah, just plug that into the USB port. If it's software, then the keys won't work. They'll work just as improperly on the keyboard, the wired keyboard, right?
Okay.
If they work, then there's a physical problem. Now, one more way to test it is to take the discs that came with your satellite that your brother gave you, right?
Well, he did not give me the disc.
Of course he didn't.
That's the problem.
Why would he do that? So if you had those discs, you could then wipe it, go back to the original installed software, which is probably Windows XP, and see if everything works. If it does, then you go, all right, well, it is software. My guess would the keys would still not work. Another way you could try this, and sometimes tech guys will do this, they'll have on disk a Windows or more likely a Linux install, another operating system they can just boot from a USB key or a CD. And then you could download those, by the way, get it from Ubuntu.com, just put it on a CD and see if the keys work then. Because what you're doing is you're eliminating all the software. You're running a different operating system. If there's a hardware flaw, it'll still show up.
Okay.
I suspect it's a hardware flaw. Have you plugged in an external keyboard yet?
I have, and it works fine. So yeah. I've already got in my cart on Amazon a new keyboard to try that out. But it's in general, you know, it's got the slowing down of an aged computer.
Yeah.
Things that pop up. And
yeah. That computer's in its
program.
If it were a human, it'd be in its 90s.
Okay. But if I install Windows 10, I mean, it's got four cores. It's got an Intel.
How much RAM do you have?
6 gigabytes.
Oh, yeah, you're fine.
So if I install Windows 10, it should and do like a fresh restart, fresh install.
You know what?
It should be running.
That'd make the computer run better for sure.
Okay.
And it might fix the keyboard thing. It probably won't. But if it's hardware, it won't. But it might.
Well, I figure $20-something for the keyboard and install Windows 10. Hopefully it'll be working. So I know you always talk about Carbonite, but what's the best way to back up?
The fastest way is not Carbonite. Carbonite's more for an ongoing thing where you're always backing up. For what you want to do, you just want to get an external hard drive and copy everything in the documents and settings folder over. So you get all your data.
Yeah, I'll probably need a new one of those because ours is older.
Yeah.
It's like it was when 150 gigs was a lot for an external.
Now be prepared because there may be hardware compatibilities with that satellite. You know, it was made before Windows 7, so it might balk at Windows 10. You can't promise that all the hardware is going to work. You could try it. There is a Windows 10 compatibility checker Microsoft offers. You might try running that. See if everything's going to work. It might be minor things that don't work. It might be major. Hey, thanks for the call, Leo Laporte.
Hey, Tech Guy.
Tech Guy Show this week brought to you by, I think, I'm going to give him my Leo Laporte Tech Hero of the Year Award, Epson. Everybody knows that with inkjet printers, it's the ink that really eats you alive, right? And it's a pain, too. How many times have you been in the middle of printing and you're out of ink? You got to get new cartridges. Wouldn't it be cool, said somebody one day, never. Actually, every user said this. Nobody at a printer company ever said this, if we just put all the ink they're going to need in the printer to begin with, wouldn't that be cool? Epson did it. This must have been the hardest thing to get through. I just got to congratulate whoever the engineer who said we should do this. He must have had a lot of guts because this is brilliant. Epson's new EcoTank printers come with 2 years of ink in the box. And then when you run out of ink, it's about 50 ink cartridges worth. When you run out of ink, you can replace it with ultra-low-cost replacement ink bottles. It just takes the pain out of inkjet printing. And by the way, these are their best printers. The power of the Precision Core technology, 40 million drops of inks per second. I print a page, I'm not kidding, like in 2 seconds. It goes, and it's done. And you get things like, you know, really beautiful colors. You get laser quality black text, automatic two-sided printing, 30-page auto document feeder. These are all-in-ones. Look at the ET4550, very affordable. Comes with 8,500 pages, enough ink for 8,500 color pages, 11,000 black pages. There, by the way, the wireless printing on this, very easy. From tablets, from smartphones, it supports AirPrint, supports Google Cloud printing. I even scan to the cloud, which I love. Lisa said, can you get this, scan me this document and then just, you know, put it on a USB key and give it to me? I said, I'll do better than that. I'll scan it to a Google Drive and share it with you. Awesome! I love my Epson printers. And now, with this incredible EcoTank, they're just knocking it out of the park. No more out-of-ink frustration. Beautiful color printing, high-capacity refillable ink tanks, and ultra-low-cost replacement ink. You've got to love this. By the way, a huge variety of printers use the EcoTank now, including photo and business printers. The Epson Expressions for business printing, the Workforce, that's what I use. And look at this one. I love this one. And if you're in a big office or you're just a big man and you need heavy-duty, high-volume business printing, the WFR4640, this comes with, are you ready? Get this, 20,000 pages worth of ink. I love it. And boy, it looks good. 20 pages per minute black or color. 20 pages per minute. So it's 3 seconds. I said two. I print a little faster. I don't know if I don't. This is incredible. And and by the way, this one, because it has such big tank, they come with the bags of ink. Look at that. I want you to check it out. EcoTank printers. This is, I think Epson just needs to be patted on the back. And if you need a new printer, you've got to look at it. Epson.com/EcoTank if you want to learn more. Unbeatable combination of convenience and value and ultra-low-cost ink replacement. You just... My tech heroes. Honestly. Brilliant. Epson.com/EcoTank. Should I do it? Should I do the factory reset? Yeah, that camera's not right. And you can't uninstall it. It's built, you know, it's the built-in software. The different camera app works okay. So I have the FV5 app. See, this works like it. I expect it to work. So maybe it's just the software, but how do I fix that software without reinstalling? Should I just go download the new, let's see. Yeah, I'd start over. There's stuff going on with this. In fact, really, to review it, I should probably not put any of my software on it and just review it with bare bones. But I'm not going to like that. It doesn't really solve my problem. Google Camera. So others are not having that problem. So, okay. So, let's see. Google Camera. See, I don't have... There's no uninstall. There's no... I could disable it. So you guys who have your 6Ps, you're not having that problem, right? Okay, Google, open camera. Hey, talking to you. Okay, Google, open camera. No, that's not what I want to know. Clean the app cache? Really, you think? That could be it. That could be it, but how do I do that? I don't think I have... I could do a network setting reset. I could... See, if you've rooted it, you can clean the app cache. I don't care. I'm not going to bend my 6P. I don't care about that. Yes, the connection... The Type-C connector is great. Love the Type-C connector. Highly recommend it. You can put it upside down. You can do anything you want. Highly recommend it. Yeah. So I like that. It's USB 2. It's not USB 3. But otherwise, I love it. Seat cleaner for Android. Who has a 6P? Oh, I see. Oh, I know. Oh, I know. You're right. Yeah, I could do that in the apps. Yeah. Sure, you betcha. I could just do this. Been watching Fargo, you know. Oh, no. Don't want to do that. Want to do this. Hello. App info. Here we go. You're saying clear the cache here, huh? Storage, data usage, permissions, notifications, memory. Where's the cache part there? Clear cache. Maybe that's it. Wouldn't that be cool if that fixed it? Should I clear the data? I'll clear everything. Data will do. Those include all files, settings, accounts, databases, etc. The hell? Yeah, go ahead. All right. Okay. Yeah, sure. Okay, got nothing there. Zero. Completely empty. Now let's try it. Let's see what happens here. It's going to say, oh, allow. Yeah, sure. Okay. Look, take a picture. Take a picture. You're not taking a picture, are you? You're not doing nothing because even the controls aren't showing up there. It's broken. No, I already know that. I don't care about that. Oh, it's halfway swiped left now. Oh, then it went all the way to left. Got it. Yeah, got it. Thank you. Oh, now it's loaded up. Now let's. Oh, but I don't want that. I don't want a video. Okay, it's in camera mode. I've got everything I need now. Let's take a picture. I said take. Oh, that was kind of slow. Wait a minute. Still hasn't taken it. There, it's taken it. That's ridiculous. I agree. 1001, 1002, 1003, 1004, 1005. 5 seconds. No, that's not good. That's not good. So I cleared the cache. I cleared the data. I now have to clear the whole damn phone. Right? What else can I do? Wipe it. So you don't have that problem. See, look at that. Oh, wow. That was a crash. You don't have that problem with your 6P, Garadal. Okay, well, it must be me then. I won't install anything. I'll just leave it the way it is. Yeah, she dropped. Okay, let's go back down here. Let's see. I had all that cool stuff going, but I'm going to turn it all off now. I'm going to do it all. Let's get rid of it all. Wipe the whole damn thing. Nothing more fun than resetting a phone. It's like getting a brand new, fresh phone. Oh, don't look at that. Nope. That's my private information.
Again, at 6 minutes past the hour.
Erase everything, yeah. Oof-ta. Yeah, no, I already said that. Erase everything. Okay, thank you. Sigh. Yeah, the phone uses encryption. It's all Google stuff is encrypted by default now. Well, hey, how are you today, Leo Laporte? The tech guy, time to talk computers and the internet and home theater and digital photography, smartphones, smart watches, and all that jazz. 8888. Ask Leo. That's the phone number. I'm doing like the 49ers did on my Nexus 6P. I pulled the quarterback. I'm actually resetting the phone because the camera wasn't working right, and I've talked to couple people now in the chat room that say their Nexus 6P camera is fast and fine. Mine, I just tried it. Took 5 seconds to take one picture. That's too long. So maybe there's something wrong with it. So I'm resetting and wiping. And if it still doesn't fix, I guess I'll have to go to Google and say, hey, I need a new phone. It's like pulling Colin Kaepernick out, trying the second string guy. I'm pulling the quarterback. 8888 Ask Leo. And in our chat room, Sticky Toes says, my wife just shouted from the other room, can you turn up Leo so I can hear him while I clean the bathroom? Can you hear me now, Mrs. Sticky Toes? That's not a good name for somebody cleaning the bathroom. 8888 Ask Leo. Jack is on the line from Hampton, New Hampshire. Hi, Jack.
Hey, Leo.
Welcome.
All right. I have a comment and two questions.
Okay. Fire away.
So First, a comment, yep. All right? I got a Samsung Evo 850 SSD.
Yes, and the latest and greatest.
Yeah, it was really nice. up until I couldn't use it on my Windows computer. I tried it on two different Windows computers.
Are you on Skype? Because or are you on a cell phone? Because it's breaking up.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah,
New Hampshire.
Ah, yes. So you said you tried the new Samsung 850 SSD on a Windows 10 machine and it wouldn't work?
Yep, I tried it on two different Windows 10 machines, and the software that came on the disk worked on the two Windows 7 ones.
Oh, yeah, the software on the disk may not be compatible with Windows 10, but you don't need the software on the disk. An SSD is just like any other hard drive. You format it and run it. So the Windows 10 installer, when you get to the part where it gives you some options, you want to say, yeah, that drive, that needs to be format. I would partition and format it just like it's a blank drive and then try installing it. You don't need the software on the disk. That's just extra stuff. I wouldn't be surprised if it doesn't work with Windows 10. Imagine how much effort Samsung puts into that software, knowing that 99% of people who buy the hard drive just erase it before they use it anyway. Never the best software. Maybe it's the cloning software. You could try downloading a newer version from if Samsung has it on their website. I'd say, you know, that's not going to make a big difference in terms of disk usage. William in Michigan, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, William.
Hey, how's it going, Leo?
I'm great. How are you?
Not so bad. Hey, I got a question for you that might be challenging for you, but hopefully you can help me out.
Every question's challenging because I'm slow.
So is my cell phone. I'm an over-the-road truck driver, and okay. My biggest problem is trying to find the ability to find a tower, have my phone run at the speed and connect to the tower and all that blah, blah, blah stuff.
Yeah.
So what I'm hoping that you can maybe help me figure out is what's going to be the best carrier and the best phone to have with that carrier where I'm going to be able to communicate better and use my phone the way I want to use it.
Yeah, that's really geography specific. So if you were in, Kansas City, I'd say Sprint because they're really good in Kansas City. And if you were in New York City, I'd say Verizon because that's – and by the way, that's where both those companies originated, so they're going to be really good there. The problem is you're a truck driver. You go to a lot of places, don't you?
Right. I'm all over the place. I need something that's going to be pretty much general no matter where, but I'd like to hopefully – I was thinking about doing Cricket, but I just don't know what they'd be like.
Yeah, I wouldn't. So I'd go with one of the big national carriers. PC Magazine every year tests speeds – and connectivity, and generally AT&T wins nationwide. This is the problem, is there's no one perfect carrier nationwide.
Right.
It's going to be between AT&T and Verizon, the two biggins. And generally AT&T wins, except for some areas in the Pacific Northeast, or the Atlantic Northeast. So I just, it really depends on where you go, and you're going to have to do some research, do some coverage maps. Where do you typically drive?
I'm in all 48 lower states.
Yeah, see, this is going to be a tough one. There's no one perfect. If you had two phones, one from Verizon, one AT&T, you're pretty much guaranteed to be everywhere.
Get your old phone.
Yeah, I mean, you can, somebody's suggesting this is an interesting idea. You could get a dual SIM phone. These are generally sold overseas. Countries like India, where there are many carriers and no universal coverage, they'll put two SIM cards in, one for the carrier, for each area that they're going to. You might try that. I don't know if you can use an AT&T and a Verizon SIM in the same folder. I've never tried that, but there are phones like the OnePlus 2 that have dual SIM carriers. That might be a solution. I'm going to have to punt on this and let the audience help us with their experiences because I don't, if you're, boy, you're in all 48 states. Lower states, there's going to be places you just don't have coverage. I'm bullish on Sprint of all people. Sprint is a distant fourth in coverage, but they were acquired by a massive Japanese conglomerate and SoftBank. And I believe SoftBank has committed to spending billions to improve connectivity. I mean, really, that's what it comes down to is do you have cell towers everywhere? And the more cell towers they have, the better. T-Mobile does well in urban areas, very poorly in rural areas. And that makes sense. If you're the number three or number four carrier, you're going to invest your dollar carefully. You're going to put it where the most users are. It's when you get, and this, of course, is what happens to you because you're driving on those interstates. You're getting to areas with lesser population. It's, you know, the smaller companies, Cricket's going to be a bad choice. They're not going to have cell towers in rural areas. That's where you're going to lose your connectivity. You're better off, I'm almost certain, with AT&T or Verizon. And really, that's going to be the question, is which is the better? And I, you know, that one I can't tell you for sure. You can look at coverage maps, but my feeling is those guys, I don't want to say they lie, but they tend to be embellished. I've seen coverage maps that show great coverage in areas where I'm getting no bars. Todd in our chat room says, not AT&T. I split my time between L.A., Philadelphia, and rural Maine, and it's atrocious in all three. Interesting. Might be Verizon's the one to choose. I don't know. It's going to be between those two. As I said, I'm basing AT&T on the only survey I know of, which is PC Magazine's annual survey of carriers. But Todd said Verizon's the best, so I'm listening to big-headed Todd. He says Verizon, and he goes there. But just understand, nothing's going to be perfect everywhere. Verizon's, you know, let's face it. Verizon's got the ad, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? They're trying to, they're all doing this. Amazing coverage. Look how red that map is. Look how magenta that map is. Look how blue that map is. They're all saying the same thing. Nobody's perfect as far as I can tell. But I would try Verizon, I guess. Chat room seems to be of one mind. Where do you go? Is there anywhere to go that you could get independent verification of coverage maps? Do you have to trust the company? Verizon works everywhere except Kansas, says Roebling. Verizon is best in the middle of Wisconsin, says Hans. I think we're getting the consensus here from the chat room. I'm glad the chat room weighed in, William. I'm going to amend my recommendation and say go Verizon. Jerry in New York City, who would, of course, have the best Verizon cover. You know, I know people in New York who hate Verizon. So I don't know what the right answer is. 8888 Ask Leo. This is what's great about this show. We can reach consensus with a vast listening audience. Thanks for the call. OpenSignal.com. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 8888 Ask Leo. Chat room tells me OpenSignal is a good place to get a more objective idea of what the signal coverage is for the various cell carriers. OpenSignal.com. And they even have an app. And I think that's probably why they have such a reliable signal map, is because they probably, I would guess, they're using the smartphones. So you can go to any place and see who the best carrier is. And I'm just looking at our place. They say Verizon. I don't know if that's true. This is the problem, right? And you get out in the rural areas, there's very little coverage for anybody. But at least this is, a crowdsourced map. It'll give you some idea of signal coverage. Now, remember, there's data and there's voice. And on some phones, they're different. On more modern phones, they're the same. Voice over LTE would be voice over data. But you want to have good voice coverage. And so you can choose on this map what kind of coverage you're talking about. OpenSignal.com. 8888-ASK-LEO. That's the phone number. John in Merced. That's the number he called. And here I am, John. It's amazing. A miracle. Only an hour and a half later, and I have appeared.
Well, hi, Leo. My basic question is that I've got a new HP laptop that runs Windows 10. And although I'm learning a little bit about it each day, I think I'd like to find out what kind of information, what kind of like books or articles and magazines or on the internet to really learn to understand Windows 10 and how to use it.
It's a great idea. And, you know, everybody learns differently. So some people will learn better from videos. Some people should take a class because they need hands-on experience. But if you can learn from a book or websites, you're golden because there's a lot. So my friend David Pogue has written his, you know, he does the Missing Manual series. It's a great series of books for computer stuff that didn't come with a manual. As you probably noticed, your Windows 10 computer had a pamphlet, not a manual. And it was mostly about how to turn it on. And then you're on your own.
And what's amazing, this is the first time I've used Windows 10, and because I didn't know what I was doing, I mentioned it to my sister and brother-in-law, and she said, you got to take the computer back. There was something that you didn't do that you were supposed to do. My goodness, she doesn't know, but I'm not that fast.
What was that you were supposed to do? I don't know what you were supposed to do.
Yeah, I see. That's the point.
No, I don't take it back. I don't know what she's talking about, but it comes complete. The most important thing you can do, and you don't have any choice probably, is keep it updated. And that's going to happen automatically. Microsoft's going to do that for you. And it's true also of any browsers that you use or anything else that goes on the internet. You want to keep them up to date, including your PDF reader and your Flash player and all that stuff. But, you know, that's the most important thing. The rest of it, you could take your time learning. My friend David writes great books. Windows 10, The Missing Manual is out. It's from O'Reilly. It's a great choice. If you like a website that has lots of little articles, I highly recommend my buddy Paul. This is all my friends, you know. I'm giving plugs to all my friends. My buddy Paul Thurrott, he does our Windows podcast on my Twit network. His site, Thurrott.com, is loaded with Windows tips. A lot of them for the more serious Windows user, you know. You know, the enthusiast, the sophisticated, experienced Microsoft Windows user who wants to know, you know, how do I do this? How do I do that? But it's a great site. Thurrott.com.
Can you spell that again? Please?
Yeah, it's on our website too, techguylabs.com. Everything's going to be on Tech Guy Labs. We always put it there.
Okay.
For that very reason, because I know it's hard to write this stuff down, especially if you're driving and stuff like that. We got an IT guy in here. Have you gone to Windows 10 yet at the bank? No. Still using XP, right? No. Windows 7, probably, I would guess. But if people come to you who say, I want to learn more about the operating system, do you have a site or a book that you recommend? Or?
Yeah, David Pogue does great.
Pogue. He says Pogue's good.
He's good.
There are some good websites besides Thurrott.com for more beginnery people. What is it? This Old Geek? Is that it? I love his stuff. Lynda.com has great classes. If you're willing to pay some money, that's right, they're a sponsor, so a little disclaimer there. But if you're willing to pay some money, they're good. I'll tell you what I'd love. Let's start compiling this. James DeRuvo is writing everything down as we speak. So if you're in the chat room and you've got a suggestion for a great place to learn how to use Windows 10 better, put that in the chat room, and we will add that to our website, techguylabs.com, along with the two I've mentioned already. And if you aren't in the chat room, you can always go to the website, techguylabs.com, and comment on that. How To Geek. Yeah, that's the one I was thinking of. How To Geek is a great site for how to do specific things. HowToGeek.com. And they have a lot of Windows 10 articles. So I think that would be a great place to go. And some of the stuff you'll look at it and say, well, I don't know what that means. And some of the stuff will actually be hit home. Because, you know, the problem is that there's a lot of different levels to computing. You could be a beginner and, you know, how do I use a browser or how do I set up email? And you could be more advanced and say, you know, how do I train Cortana to understand my voice better? Things like that. Windows 10 is interesting because Microsoft says it's not done and it never will be. And that kind of rhetoric doesn't inspire confidence in people, but it should. What they mean is we're going to be continually fixing it, updating it, improving it over time. And that's good. That's kind of what you want. Regular updates to improve things. This is the month that we're going to get the biggest update so far to Windows 10. Code name is Threshold 2. In earlier years, you might have called this a service pack. And I expect we're going to see, Microsoft says, one or two of these a year from now on. There'll be fairly large updates that will make some significant changes for the better, one hopes, to Windows 10. I have to say, my experience, I love Windows 10. I've been very happy with it. And there are little weird quirks. On my Surface Book, whenever I open Chrome, the mouse pointer disappears. Just disappears. It's gone. I'm sure they'll fix that. So it's quirky. It's minor things. But on the whole, I'm really impressed with what Microsoft's done. They had a lemon. They went from the best version of Windows ever, Windows 7, to Windows 8, and it was a lemon. Whether you loved it or not, it was a lemon. And people revolted. And Microsoft, to their credit, to their great everlasting credit, listened and backed down. I mean, they said things, we will never again have a start menu. That's gone. Get used to it. Get over it. And then that guy Sinofsky left. And Microsoft said, you know what? Maybe you should have it. You want a start menu? You got it. Windows 10 is really a lot like Windows 7, you know, with all of the rough edges of Windows 8 gone. So I'm really a fan. And I think it's fine to get Windows 10. Just understand that you're going to be some quirks, but it's going to get better. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. If life gives you Windows 8, make Windows 10. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 8888, ask Leo. Chris, also a truck driver. Hi, Chris.
Hey, Leo. How you doing today?
Yeah, I'm doing great. You got a little feedback for us?
Yeah, absolutely. I drive all lower 48 and right on with AT&T. I use a little Wi-Fi card for my computer and, I also use it for voice and never really have a problem. Drops in and out a little bit going down the road, but cause I use it for my GPS for traffic and weather info. But
that's awesome.
Other than that, it works everywhere from Maine to Florida to, I'm from Burbank, but all the way up into Washington, all four corners.
Well, there you go. A unsolicited testimonial.
Absolutely.
Yeah. The problem is nothing's going to be perfect everywhere.
But, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, but you go down, you're going across 80, you're going through Nebraska, there's lots of places where there's just, you're not going to get a signal. You're in the middle of cornfields.
Well, I'm in the middle of Oklahoma right now.
Yeah.
In the middle of a cornfield.
Yeah, it's working fine. Good.
Yeah.
Nice. All right. Well, hey, thank you for the feedback, Chris. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Leo. Longtime listener, first time caller.
Nice.
Always enjoy your show.
I love our truck drivers because I know they're captive audience. If I could do an 8-hour show, you'd listen. I know. So thank you.
Oh, absolutely.
I appreciate it. Take care, Mike. I mean, sorry, Chris. Now it's Elliot on the line. Hi, Elliot. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hello.
Hello. Oh, my friend Elliot. Wait a minute.
Yeah?
You're calling from where?
Boston.
Okay, but you want to know, you're going to St. Louis?
No, my aunt lives there and she's visiting.
Yeah. So she wants to know who would be best for her in St. Louis.
Yeah, and also she's getting a first smartphone and...
Oh, are you going to help her?
Unfortunately, yes.
Why unfortunately? Does she smell funny?
No, I'm going to be probably getting calls 24/7.
Oh, yeah. You already are, Elliot. Aren't you the tech support for your entire family?
True.
Yeah. Welcome to the club, Elliot. That's okay. Do you do it with a smile or do you go, oh, Auntie, again?
A little bit of both.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's funny. I'm better with you and people on the show than I am with my family. I have been known. It's true, isn't it? I've been known to raise my voice to my own mother. Mom! No, the start menu, Mom. No, it's the... There's a very funny video, Elliot. You got to look for it and play it for your aunt. Of, you know who John Mayer is? The guy who did... Your body is a wonderland, oh. There's somebody snuck a video of him. He's outside. He's at the stage door of one of his concerts. And he's on the phone, and he's talking to his father. And he's saying what you and I and everybody who's a tech person is has said many. No, Dad, you can do this. No, Dad, no, you can do this. No, click, click the Apple, Dad. Click the, no, Dad, no, it's in the upper left-hand corner. It's the funniest video. He's, you know what? You can be a big superstar and you still got to support your dad. So she is visiting you. You know, my experience in the Midwest, and I'm probably, this is, I'm sure the case in St. Louis, is Sprint's very good. Remember, Sprint was originally the Southern Pacific Railroad. That's where the SP comes from in Sprint. And the they got into the cell business because they had lots of rights of way for their railroad lines. And they put towers up there. And they come out of Kansas City, Missouri. So they're very good in the Midwest. They tend to do very well. Now, if she stays in St. Louis and doesn't go anywhere else, you know, you can't go wrong, I think, with AT&T and Verizon. They're so big. They have so many subscribers. They really make the effort to be as national as possible. And I think both of them do a fairly good job of it. But Sprint might be a wild card in that one. Now, the best way to go to opensignal.com, have Auntie enter in her zip code, and it'll tell her. And she can look at who's the best carrier in that area. I'm a poet. I didn't know it. I bet you Sprint's up there. Just be my guess. 8888, Ask Leo. Philip in Anaheim's next. Hi, Philip.
Hi, Leo.
Hey, welcome.
Glad I got through. Hey, listen, I'm having a problem with a Moto G I got on Cricket last year.
Yeah.
And let's see here, what happened. I put it in the R runtime environment. Okay, it had
okay. You're one of those guys. You just got to mess with it.
Yep.
Because in order to do that, by the way, you have to jump through hoops. You have to tap the version 9 times to turn on the developer menu, and it doesn't tell you. It just, you have to know that. Then the developer menu is turned on, and then you go and you change. What you do is you change the Java virtual machine. The default used to be Dalvik. Google's moving to Art.
That's what it was.
Yep.
So let's see here. I had, which launcher did I have on it? I forget the name of it, but anyway, I had a bunch of launchers on it. And now I'm getting the same error message repeatedly. It says, quote, unfortunately, the process com.android.system UI has stopped. It keeps popping it repeatedly, and there's no way out of it.
You broke your phone, dude. I'm sorry. I shouldn't laugh. I've done that, by the way, switched to Art on many Android devices with no problem. But it sounds like now you can't get the phone to work at all.
Correct. I factory reset it. It doesn't work. Is there any way, is there any program on Windows that I can use to hook it up to and manually reset the phone?
That's a really interesting question. Had you rooted the phone?
No.
So if you turn on Art and it doesn't, something fundamental like the Android runtime doesn't work, how do you get back to Dalvik? So you're saying that a wipe did not work?
Correct.
And you've never rooted your phone. It might be time. Let's see. Is there, I would probably, first thing I would recommend is a website called XDA-developers. That's a forum. And you can go there and you can type that question. Go to the Moto G section. It's last year's Moto G?
It's the first generation.
Yeah,
Moto
that's
G
last
one.
Year's, yeah. And see what to do. I'm going to have to do some research because I don't know of an answer to this question. Seems like there should be something you could run. On a Windows phone, for instance, there is. I'll look. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. That's a really interesting question. So I'm restoring this phone. I restored this phone with there's nothing. No apps, nothing. Okay. Google, yes, I'm in. I want to do Google now. Oh, I'm sorry. Got it. Welcome, wallpapers, widgets, blah, blah, blah. That's it. That is vanilla. Well, let's see what it's doing here. Oh, it's doing restored one out of eight applications. I guess this got to update yeah, these are all the Google apps, so I'll let it do that. I don't want to try this while it's doing anything, right? 53 voicemails, yeah. This is my Google Fi phone, so I'm using the Google. Let's just try it once, just to see. Okay. Allow camera, yes. Swipe right. Oh, see how much faster it is? Yeah, you know what? It worked. Yeah, look at that. Wow. That's good. It's even making a little funny sound. Well, one by one, I'm going to put my apps on. Let's see if I can do a pano. All right. It's still doing that silly... now it's working. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Sure, you betcha. Oh, yeah. Look at that. Oh, dub bears. Oh, dub bears. It's still doing the little thing. Still doing the little thing. Yeah, go ahead. Ask a question.
Okay, so we have like five of us on text stream. Four of us have iPhones. And what is my gift?
She has Nexus 5.
Nexus 5.
Yeah.
If we can't get... She can't get...
Yeah, she's a green bubble. She's not a blue bubble.
She doesn't always get stuff.
Yeah.
The only way we've gotten it to work is put up...
Yeah. No, so here's the thing. See, the iPhone messages thing is not very friendly to Android.
Yeah.
So you have to make sure a couple of things. Did she ever have an iPhone?
No.
Oh. So that's usually the worst thing, because then she is an iPhone in other people's contact list, and she won't get it because she doesn't have messages. So first on your phones, you have to turn on SMS messaging. That's a checkbox. It's possible to have that turned off, and then it will only use data for messages, and she will never get it because she doesn't have messages. Apple never made messages for Android, which they should have, but they didn't. Then you have to make sure that her contact list is not an iPhone, that it's just a mobile in your contacts. So some of your friends may have her listed and have it say iPhone with her phone number, and they'll try to use messages. But the most important thing is make sure they all have SMS turned on in messages. And then it's supposed to say, oh, it's not an iPhone, I'm going to use SMS. Group messaging, she'll never participate in. She's not allowed.
We found a way for it to work.
For group?
Yeah.
Yeah, use WhatsApp.
Well, hold on. So, like, we got to add, like, MLS Prime or something. Hold on, I got to look.
Into usually, group messaging on messages is only data. It doesn't use SMS.
So, I don't, yeah.
Well, she has an iPad, so she may have.
Oh, so, yeah. So, and she can go, there's an Apple website, I can't remember the address, you can go to and say, I am not an iPhone. And it's for people who switch. Yeah, David's getting all of this. He's remembering all of it. Well, he does now, but he's got the mind for this stuff. He understands. It's symbolic.
Okay, so can we try that, Dave?
It's like when you talk to a chess master. You say, well, the king's rank is open. He knows exactly, he's seeing his head. 8888, ask Leo. Back to the phones we go.
It was Philip.
Yeah, it was with Philip, but we're done with Philip, right? Did we finish Philip? I just hung up on him, so I hope we did. He has a Moto G. He's got, I have no way to fix what he's just done to his phone. He switched on a different Java virtual machine, an experimental one called Art, and apparently doesn't work with one of the fundamental Android services on his first generation Moto G. If you know. And now, of course, he can't even get into the phone to turn off Art and go back to Dalvik, which is the original Java virtual machine, because he can't get the phone to boot. He's tried wiping it and resetting it, and it's unfortunate because the reset kind of remembers your, you know, things like that, I guess. Can't do it. If you've done a full wipe and it still comes back up Art... So all I can do is point you to XDA developers and say, hope somebody there knows. This is tough. Bad stuff. Sheila in North Carolina. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Sheila.
Hi, Leo. It's great talking to you. I have a question. My husband and I have an Apple ID, which has always worked up until we just got our watches.
Yeah.
Our Apple watches.
Yeah.
And now, all right, when my phone rings, it rings on his watch.
Because you share an ID, right?
Right.
Yeah, you can't do that.
But it's always worked until we got the
watch. Well, the watch thinks that you're the same people.
Right. Even my watch. You know, like my iPhone has always said Sheila's iPhone, even though, or my iMac said Sheila's iMac, even though it was the same ID. But my watch says it's his watch.
Yeah, Apple, in its infinite wisdom, has decided to associate the watch with an Apple account, an Apple ID.
Right.
And apparently, I didn't know this. Actually, this is interesting information. It's really, when you call an iPhone user, Apple uses the Apple ID to decide which devices to jingle.
Right.
And in this case, since you share an iPhone, it must jingle his watch too, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's interesting because Apple doesn't have to do it that way. It could be a hardware association. Like, I'm I think you assumed and your husband assumed, as I would, well, that watch is associated with that phone. And when that phone rings, the watch should ring. But no, apparently Apple's decided we're going to do it by ID.
Right.
So the reason you shared IDs is because you wanted to share music and videos and all that, right?
Well, no, actually, our iTunes account is not even the same.
So why did you not make your own ID?
I don't know. We just always
You could do it now. It won't hurt anything.
Well, because, like, reminders. I've typed stuff in reminders, and it goes straight to him.
Yeah, so there are ways around that. For instance, in reminders, you can share it with your husband's account. And that way, he doesn't get all your reminders, just the shared ones.
Would that be just family sharing?
Family sharing is how you would share music and videos. I don't know if family sharing is used for reminders. I know with notes, you just give it an address and it shares it. So you just have to, but that's, Apple understands that's why people do that. They don't want people to do that anymore. So they've given you mechanisms situations like that where you want to share stuff, but you don't really want the same calendars.
Right.
You don't really want the same contacts. So better to have your own ID. I keep telling my son this, by the way. And what finally brought it home to my son when I was getting all of his texts.
Right. I don't really care if he gets mine, but whatever.
No, I think, this is time to have. I mean, and you can tell him, it's not for anything nefarious. I just don't want my watch to ring when somebody calls your phone.
Right.
Yeah, and that's, so just make your own ID. Unfortunately, Apple requires you set it up with a credit card number. I don't know why they do that, but that's so they can get your money easier, obviously.
I have to, wipe my phone and my watch and my iPad.
Yeah.
And then...
No, you don't have to wipe. No, you don't. The only thing you have to wipe is the watch. Your phone, you sign out in the settings. You're going to sign out. You go to the iCloud area, sign out of the iCloud, and sign into your new account. Same thing with the Apple iPad. Same thing with the Macintosh. The reason you have to do it on the watch doesn't have any way to do that. The watch is paired with the phone. It will get the setting from the phone.
Right.
So once you set up the phone properly with your new iCloud account, then you reset the watch, and it will, and you'll have to take the picture of the fuzzy cloud.
Right.
And then it will go, okay. And from now on, it won't ring anymore until your phone rings. You're giving me an interesting data point because I had no idea that's how Apple did it. That's a little bit counterintuitive, but I guess I can understand why. But
this has been the most frustrating Apple thing I've ever done.
Yeah. Who knew, right, that's what Apple was doing? I didn't know. But in general, it just makes sense. It'd be better to have each of you have your own unique ID.
Okay. Well, now, how will I make my ID? Will I make it on my phone?
No, you go to Apple, apple.com.
Go to Apple. Okay, and make it there, and then put it on my phone.
I think you on the phone, there may even be a button to create a new ID. It's just easier to do it on a desktop.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much for your help.
You're very welcome. I appreciate it. And you won't, by the way, you won't now have any of the stuff that your husband had in the Apple Store. Well, actually, you said you use a different Apple ID. You don't have to change the Apple Store ID. You can share that ID, I think. Apple doesn't want you to do this, obviously. They want each person. They want information about each of you individually. Last call of the day from North Hollywood, Jeremy. Hi, Jeremy.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I'm trying to figure out what's going on with my wireless printer. I didn't have this problem last year on AT&T, but now I'm on Time Warner.
Shouldn't make a difference.
That's why I'm confused.
Reconfigure the wireless printer to use your Wi-Fi?
Yeah, everything works. Like I set everything up today, all my devices, because I use Chrome, Android, and Windows.
Yeah.
They'll all print today, and it works nicely. But next week, for some reason, all the devices think that the printer is offline. But the printer, when I walk over there and check it, it's online.
Yeah, I've had that happen. So the fix for me, and this was on a Mac, but it's going to be the same idea generically, is to get the latest drivers from the printer manufacturer. We were using, my wife has a Mac, I have a Mac. We both were printing to an Epson printer. And for some reason, this one machine in the whole house could never, her MacBook could never print. And I finally thought, oh, maybe I should just get the drivers from Epson directly. And doing that fixed it. It did fix it. So there are a lot of reasons. Wireless is touch and go in general, but there are a lot of reasons why it might not print. But do make sure that you've gone to the manufacturer's website and got the right drivers for the version operating system that you're using. That makes a big difference. Then there are a lot of other things, but I have run out of time. I would start with that one. Thank you, Nathan Staten, musical director. Kim Schaffer, our phone ranger. Thanks to you for being here. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Have a great geek week.
Well, that's it for the Tech Guy Show for today. Thank you so much for being here. And don't forget, it's just the tip of the iceberg. We do nearly 30 shows on the Netcast Network. It's called TWIT, T-W-I-T. It stands for This Week in Tech, and you'll find it at twit.tv, including the podcasts for this show. We talk about Windows on Windows Weekly, Macintosh on Mac Break Weekly, iPads, iPhones, Apple Watches on iOS Today, security on Security Now. I mean, I can go on and on and on. You even get your daily dose of tech news with Tech News Today and Tech News Tonight. And, of course, the big show every Sunday afternoon, This Week in Tech. You'll find it all at twit.tv. And I'll be back next week with another great Tech Guys show. Thanks for joining me. We'll see you next time.